The buzzing as a fly desperately tries to escape the maze of my mother-in-law's house sounds like a man leaning on a jackhammer in downtown LA. Of course, I've heard the sound thousands of times. Only today, as someone that doesn't drink alcohol, I listen to it, I find empathy with it, and I pose the question, why does it make me want to stand in the middle of a busy fairway? In Nature, Ralph Waldo Emerson's first treatise, he says, good thoughts are no better than good dreams unless they are executed. But the thought does come first. And when I was drinking, my thoughts did need executing, not in the form of affirmative action, but at the end of a rope. Thoughts, you are to be hanged until you are dead, dead, dead. Today I am switched on. I am like a locomotive when before I was a man eaten alive by irrational motive. I am a set of Bosey cans screwed into a Bang & Olufsen sound system when before I was those foam things plugged into a Sony Walkman spouting nonsense that belonged in a toilet cistern. Back then it was about me. Today it's about you, 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 you and you. Back to my old buddy Ralph, and he was onto something. Thoughts turn into feelings, feelings turn into actions, and for that sequence to knit together like DNA, you need awareness of self and the surrounding world, acceptance of your ailments, and the bravery and courage to commit to change. And you get that by making a choice. One choice. To stop drinking alcohol. Look, man, I know that it feels strange that you think all of your friends will think you're deranged and you're the white outline hanging at the end of the shooting range. But it's time that you changed. What changes when you become someone that doesn't drink alcohol? Everything. Every fucking thing, man. Striver Glynnis asks, I read somewhere, Lee, that a good question to ask yourself is, what does my life look like before alcohol and what does my life look like after alcohol? I can't get my head around the question. What do you make of it? Is it simply an answer like, before I have my first drink, I'm feeling X, Y, Z, and after I drink a bottle of wine, I say hurtful things and my head hurts? Or do you think it goes a little deeper than that? The whole picture of life with or without alcohol. I really like the question. I'm pondering over the answer in relation to my whole life before and after, dot, 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 dot. And that's what we talk about in today's podcast. But before I get there, I want to say a lovely happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Serena. Serena's one of our Striver ambassadors. And she's not just a Striver ambassador. She's an epic Striver ambassador. That doesn't mean that none of our Strivers are epic. But she's particularly epic because she spends more time on Strive talking about other people's situations and helping and offering advice than she does talking about herself. And I like that as someone who spends an awful lot of time talking about myself. So Serena, I love you. I think you're an amazing, amazing human being. And thanks for everybody here at Strive for everything that you do. Right, back to Glynnis's wonderful question. What does my life look like before alcohol and what does my life look like after alcohol? Okay, well, I'm going to start, as I always do, by talking about the severe importance, the hugely important stuff about this short-term versus long-term thinking, right? And that we have to switch in to this long-term mindset thinking. We have to do that if we are to overcome our addiction to alcohol. Because short-term thinking is the beating heart of addiction. This desire for instant gratification that we have to constantly like be checking our phones to Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and to go and reach for a glass of wine or a cigarette or the bong or the vape every single time we have a problem. That is our problem, right? And the truth about alcohol philosophy is embedded deep within the cement of the framework that is long-term thinking about alcoholism as an invisible, violent, and dominant belief system. And if we can think long-term about what alcohol does to us, then we are much more likely to become someone that doesn't drink alcohol than if we confine our thinking to short-term a scope of short-term thinking, okay? So that is the first thing that we need to think about. So this kind of like answer now this question that Glynis has posed, you know, what does my life look like before alcohol? I'm now going to answer that in kind of the short term and the long term. But remember, long term is like super important, I believe anyway. So we can think about this, what does my life look like before and after alcohol in the moment that we drink alcohol, right? That's the short term. So for me, it's worth like reminding you that in the moment that I left work on a Friday afternoon and I walked into that bar, okay, the human being, Lee Davey, at that time in 2008, who walked into the bar to order the pint. So the guy is pouring it. The guy, Lee Davey, who's there asking for it and is about to pay for it, he was a guy with a much diminished amount of courage, bravery. He was stuck in the status quo. He was a zombie, like everybody else in the zombification of life. He was shit scared of change. And alcohol had robbed me of being able to push all of those buttons up to maximum volume. So I had within me the capability of being a massively courageous person, a massively brave person, someone who was full of confidence and would take massive risk and change. And yes, I saw parts of that emanate from me throughout my drinking life, but it was never at a consistent basis. It was not who I was, right? It wasn't who I was in my being, because in order for me to be those things consistently, you need to practice. And I wasn't practicing because alcohol wasn't allowing me to practice, okay? Practice isn't like, Tiger Woods, right? So Tiger Woods became the world's most gifted, greatest golfer in history, not because he just turned up on the green one day and just started knocking balls. It's because he practiced. And practice for Tiger Woods was every single fucking day getting on the green and knocking those balls. Practice wasn't, well, let's just practice every now and then. That isn't practice. That is just doing something every now and then. The two things are in different sports, are in different fields, are on different planets, okay? Alcohol also robbed me of my ability to increase my IQ and my EQ, okay, exponentially. It robbed me of my ability to communicate more effectively and to connect with people. So that was the guy who walked into the bar, a guy shorn of courage, of bravery, of ability to take risks. I didn't know who I was. I was a zombie. I'm following like the blueprint of life, which has been laid down to me from my forebears who didn't know any better. I'm not growing intellectually or emotionally. I can't communicate effectively with people, especially my wife, which means I'm arguing a lot, especially my children, which means I'm not giving them good advice. And even at work, I'm not a good leader, right? So I don't have this ability to connect with people on the right level. And because of that, I'm not attracting the right people. And this is before I've even had a pint. So I guess my point is, Glynis, that if we're someone that drinks alcohol, then we are emanating, our energy is emanating from a state of being from someone who is very different than someone who is drinking. So we need to raise awareness of the fact that, yeah, we're just about to drink alcohol, and yeah, that alcohol is going to change our way of looking at the world and our conscious state. But before it does that, let's not kid ourselves thinking that we were some wonderful, brilliant, perfect human being. I wasn't. I was a mess. Okay? I was a mess. So then I drink the alcohol. Glug, 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 glug. What happens? Well, nothing's going to happen, is it really? You know, after a few, I'm going to start, let me go back a bit. Something will happen. But the reason I'm so dismissive, and I'm always so dismissive of the so-called buzz, of the so-called wonderful feeling, of the so-called vibe that we get when we drink alcohol, and people telling me repeatedly that it did so much wonderful stuff for them. The reason that I poo-poo that kind of nonsense for me, and I do think it's nonsense, is the feelings and the flood of neurotransmitters that actually create the physical sensation of the buzz, they actually come prior to drinking alcohol, right? It's the anticipation. Dopamine, for example, is an anticipatory neurotransmitter. So as you walk into the bar, before you've had a drink of alcohol, you're excited about it. When you go to bed on a Thursday night, you're excited about drinking alcohol on a Friday afternoon. When you're working Friday morning, Friday afternoon, you can't wait to get to the pub. You're excited. It's actually when you get to the bar and you drink, when you start drinking, that's when things go downhill because the anticipatory neurotransmitters are no longer there. They're not loaded present because you're actually doing the act. You're not anticipating anything. And then what's going to happen is you're going to have a drink of alcohol and your body and your mind is going to get really depressed and anxious when you stop drinking it because it wants more of it. So you're going to go through this repeated cycle of kind of like, I need to drink some alcohol. Oh my God, that was like really good. I need to drink some alcohol. Oh, that was really good. But not in the sense that you're drinking it and you're going, oh, that was really good. This is all happening in your mind, like subconsciously. You're not even paying attention to it. But ultimately what it's doing, it is creating anxiety and stress. So you drink alcohol and suddenly you start feeling anxious and you start feeling stressful, right? Time goes faster. It's almost like someone has put their foot on the accelerator of life. And not only does time go faster, but you lose large chunks of it, either through a total blackout or like, and I used to suffer from total blackouts, or most, what most commonly used to happen to me is I would forget large parts of time, all right? Now, that means that it prevents me from growing intellectually and emotionally and connecting with my friends because I don't even know or remember or recollect what it is we're even talking about, especially the nuance. And anybody knows when it comes to growth intellectually and emotionally, particularly emotionally, that the key, the gold is in the nuance of the conversation. Because if you're listening intently and you're present, then you're going to be able to ask much greater, much more meaningful questions. And everybody knows that the growth of our IQ and our EQ lies in the quality of the questions that we ask. We're not going to ask quality questions if we don't know what the fuck is going on, right? It also prevents you from realizing, understanding that the people that you're hanging around with are not actually helping you grow emotionally, intellectually. They're hindering your growth emotionally, intellectually. But you don't even remember it. You don't even think about it because you're not thinking like that. The human being as you are is not thinking strategically about how you're going to improve your life and how your friends fit into this equation. Like when you take the truth about alcohol intensity, we spend quite a bit of time talking about the cast in our life. Who are the cast members? Who's the villain? Who's a hero? Well, that's often you. And who are the allies that are going to get you past that villain? And what is it that these allies have that enable you to beat the villain and the villain's kind of henchmen, right? So you wouldn't go to war. When you get like the Avengers, for example, the Avengers don't just go to war with like me, you and Rob, right? You know, Rob down the road. The Avengers pick on people who have superheroes, who have the powers to defend the Earth. Like when you go to war with alcohol, you want some Avengers on your side. Who are they? Well, you don't even know if you're drinking alcohol, okay? So the other thing that used to happen to me when I used to have a drink is I'd be like a grenade that someone's pulled the pin out of. Like I'm a red. Right, so color code science personality test says I'm a red. I'm a guy who power is important. I'm getting from A to B as quickly as I can is super important. That I have little patience for people who just can't fucking get it and get onto it. Right, so if I'm in a pub and I've had a drink of alcohol, then all of a sudden I'm gonna get a little bit angry. I'm gonna get my levels of disagreement and my volume of my voice and my excitability is gonna increase. My propensity to violence is going to increase. I'm going to be more aggressive. My inhibitions are going to reduce, but that's not a good thing. So I will behave in ways that will violate my core values, okay? Such as one thing that I've done a few times, have sex in public places or remove all my clothing and run around naked in public places. I'm a fucking father. I'm a husband. I'm a leader in the railway. Like, what the fuck do I think is funny about that, right? And here's the funny thing is I don't, at that time, I think everything is funny. I think it's a laugh, right? we look back on it and we think, oh, wasn't it funny last night that I had sex in the McDonald's toilet in the middle of Saturday afternoon? Ha, ha, ha. Tell all my friends about it. It's funny, and it's supposed to be funny because resistance makes it funny to prevent the cognitive dissonance from entering your mind. And at that moment, the cognitive dissonance would be like, Lee, do you really think a 35-year-old should be having sex in a McDonald's toilet on a Saturday afternoon with kids out there with their parents waiting to use the toilet, listening to you, making noises like that? Do you think that's really like what the world wants to see and hear? Is that what you want out of your life? Is that what you, how you want your children to behave? Right, if that gets in your head, now you start questioning, well, why was I doing it? And if you ask, why is you doing it? Well, you're quite clearly doing it because you're drunk. There's no other reason why you're there. Alcohol reduces your inhibitions. Inhibitions are there for a reason. They're not a bad thing, okay? It's a good thing that we have inhibitions. Otherwise, we'd be walking around raping, murdering, fucking clubbing each other over the head every 2 minutes. Inhibitions are there to stop the primal instincts of us, as our animal instincts, coming out and running havoc around the world, right? The other thing that I would want to do after drinking is I would want to eat shit. Again, inhibitions, this is. It doesn't matter if I'm like the healthiest guy in the world before I've had a drink. After I've had a drink, all of that goes out the window because I'm not who I am, right? I'm not. I have a set of core values as a human being before I have a drink. And as I've explained to you, before I had a drink, because of who I was and what drink was doing to me, those core values, I didn't even know what they were. They weren't in a really good order for me. But they were there subconsciously, right? But I'm not going to adhere to those, that blueprint of life when I've had a drink, because I become somebody else, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So I will eat a kebab. You know, I have a missing tooth. I've shown you in the video there. I got a missing tooth from biting into a kebab. See this here? This scar on my nose? Falling over drunk and headbutting a curb. Here, my two front teeth. Completely false, because I broke them. Guess what doing? Opening a bottle of Budweiser with my teeth. Drunk, 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 and drunk. I would eat Indian food and Chinese food with my hands. If you ever woke up in the morning and looked at your fingers, and your fingers are yellow, right? Not because you're smoking, but because you've been eating this food with your hands, right? Now, I ate food with my hands yesterday in an Ethiopian restaurant. Completely sober, but it's very, very different than standing outside Po Wings on a Saturday night with my fingers in somebody else's beef curry and special chow mein. I mean, it's completely different, right? The other thing, I would be chronically dehydrated, and God knows what alcohol was doing to my brain cells, my liver, and the rest of my body. But, you know, in the short term, I'd be a complete and fucking utter mess. And before I was married, I would very, very lightly have pulled somebody, and I would have gone home and I would have had sex with them without a condom. And the conversation over whether or not they were on a period or a sexually transmitted disease wasn't even a factor, right? It was just a blind, drunken, fucking mess of a fuck, right? That's what it was. And where I grew up, I wasn't the only person doing that. Everybody was doing it. All the men, all the women. That's what it was. Go out on a Saturday night, get wankered, pull someone, have sex with them, wake up in the morning before they do, get your high heels or your fucking cowboy boots and run out of the place as quick as you fucking can. And if you're lucky, yeah, you found a keeper and you didn't get out of bed. You just stayed there, right? But that is a very lucky, right? So for me, that's what happened for me personally short term. There was nothing transformative about it. There was none of this kind of like, you know, I was able to kind of forget about the world. I was able to switch myself off. The taste of it was nothing to me. It was nothing for me. It was nothing at all. Okay, nothing good. But if you follow the same process that I've just followed about what you're like before you have a drink and after you've had a drink, okay, make sure you follow it through. So you almost like deploy root cause analysis. So if you think the way that we become people that don't drink alcohol is developing the long-term thought processes, but also in understanding that alcohol offers us no value. So when you say to yourself, you just heard me talking there, right? And I was talking with all the passion and all the heat of somebody that hates alcohol. It shone through, right? There's nothing positive I just said there about alcohol, right? So it's really important that we develop that same tone, that same kind of story-driven process, because It is the way that I'm thinking about alcohol and the way that I'm feeling while I'm thinking, and you can hear that coming out in my tone and my choice of words and my expression and my body language, that is what is going to fire and wire these new neurons that say that alcoholism is an invisible, violent, dominant belief system that has no value. And that means once those neurons had fired and wired enough times that I won't have any craving to drink alcohol. That's what worked for me. So when you answer this question, Glynis, or anybody else answer this question, it's really important to answer it honestly. So you might say, when I go into a bar, before I have a drink, I'm a really super duper nervous person, right? And then when I have a drink, I become really sociable. So you might think that that's a good thing. Let me tell you, if you keep thinking that that's a good thing, then you will keep drinking alcohol. You will find it really, really difficult to stop drinking. Anytime, like the key here to stopping drinking alcohol is to make sure that the pros of not drinking outweigh the cons of drinking, okay? That is super, super important. Or the cons of drinking outweigh the pros of not drinking. I got it wrong. The pros of not drinking outweigh the cons of drinking, right? Super important. But there are going to be some real key pros, right? Real key, like milestone pros that you really need on your side. And they will be your key triggers, okay? So if, for example, you say, yeah, I go into the bar and I'm really, really super nervous, but when I drink, I'm like Mrs. Sociable fucking Butterfly or whatever, and you think that's a good thing, that continues to fire those neurons that says that alcohol is normal and pleasurable, which means you'll always crave alcohol. Okay. What you can do in that instance is go down the line of, well, yeah, it does make me feel like I'm the social butterfly, but, you know, am I really happy being that social butterfly when I'm dropping my knickers at the end of the night, you know? Am I really happy being a social butterfly knowing that really that's not who I am? Like, how do I feel that I need to take one of the five most addictive drugs in the world just to put a mask on because I am incapable and frightened and don't have the courage to be who I am? The reason that I put on this mask is because I am unable to socialize with my friendship group without having a drink of alcohol. Why is that? What is it about my friendship group that makes me feel like I wear a mask? If they were my friends, would I have to wear a mask? Wouldn't my friends welcome and love who I truly am? Wouldn't they like me to be my true self? Isn't friendship all about being able to be deeply connected to an individual, etc., etc., etc.? So if you follow that line of questioning and you change it around and you map and marry thought to feeling, okay, and you start to think really super negatively about alcohol, then you're going to change these neurons, right? That's what you have to keep doing, Glynis. And it's practice, 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 okay? Practice means every day. Think what I said earlier on about Tiger Golf, Tiger Woods, from what, 6 years of age or something to the time he's in his third, where he got injured and got himself into a bit of a mess, like probably 2-3 decades of constant practice every single day. This is no difference at the Troop Alcohol. This is why we have the intensive. So you can work on this permanently, all right? Permanently, every day. All right, now think about this longer term then. So for me, what changed for me, okay? Well, it gave me the confidence to do anything, all right? So I will just go through this very quickly because all of you have heard this before. It enabled me to quit my job, 20 years on the railway. I had defined as a railwayman, yet being someone that doesn't drink alcohol allowed me to quit that, okay? That is incredible. All right. I went through a divorce and I didn't have to go and do any counseling or anything like that. It was a very torrid time. It took me a long time to get through it and it was really, really super painful. But I can't imagine what I would have been like going through that process as a drinker. I would have been a mess. I met somebody else and fell in love again, you know, and I fell in love with someone and she saw who I really was, like, because I wasn't like a drinker. Actually, I drank for a little time when I met her and she said I was a complete and utter prick when I was a drinker. When I stopped drinking, she sees who I am and I was able to fall in love again and have another child and be a much better father. I created a new career as a writer from scratch. Like, I'd never written anything and I traveled all around the world writing about poker and then interviewing people. I'd never interviewed anyone in my life and I created a podcast and I interview high-stakes poker players all around the world. I created the Truth About Alcohol experience from nothing. I brought people together on Strive, and people are now making, you know, friendships that will probably last forever. I learned to meditate, to do yoga, to become a vegan, to be an effective altruism, that the importance of serving others and not looking after your number one. Like, I became less materialistic. I become more focused. I became a better father and a better husband. I became a much more spiritual person, much more loving of nature, much more aware, much more accepting, and just a better overall human being. There's absolutely no fucking way on earth that anybody can say if they stop drinking, they're going to be a better person long term. It is impossible. And if you think that you will be a better person if you stop drinking alcohol, then come on in. We'll have a debate about it. We shouldn't even be thinking about this. This is bread and butter stuff. Yeah, do it. Do it and go through the process, because again, it helps wire and fire those neurons, but it's not a logical debate we should be having. And if you're having this debate internally with the resistance over whether or not you're going to be a better person if you stop drinking alcohol long term, come and see me, man. Send me an email at truthaboutalcohol@gmail.com, because you are in the grip of resistance. It's going to be really, really difficult for you to get out of it, all right? Cliss, I hope that helped. And anybody else who listened to it, I hope it helped. If you've got any questions whatsoever, let me know. If you want to, if you're ready to take action, only if you're ready to take action, then go to www.thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and join the taster. Costs £100. You jump on the taster. You don't have to wait until the end of the month. You can jump on it whenever you want. A Truth About Alcohol ambassador will take you through 27 days of repeated video coaching assignments created by yours truly, based on the Truth About Alcohol principles of truth, awareness and freedom. Okay, Kim is currently doing that experience right now and she's absolutely loving it. If you want to go further than that and you know that this is what you want to do for life and you just want to jump straight into it and you want to make this a lifetime thing, then take the intensive. It costs £1,000. Lisa has just made that decision. She's just jumped straight into it. She just posted assignment one this week and I've got really, really, really good vibes about Lisa. If you want to become someone that doesn't drink alcohol permanently without craving, the intensive is where you need to be. Because, ladies and gentlemen, as James and Janice Prochaska say, and they're going to be my guests on a podcast this week, as they say, the kind of maintenance phase here, you know, that we go through once we become someone who doesn't drink alcohol can take up to 5 years. So many people think that they take the taster, they stop drinking and they cracked it. No. Think back to that Tiger Woods analogy. You need to be on the green every single day working. Pop, 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 pop. Okay? Think of me as the Tiger Woods the Tiger Woods of alcohol. You need to be on Strive posting every day. You need to be in the intensive doing assignment homework every day. You need to be meditating and thinking about alcohol differently every day. Posting in triggers every day. Not every other day when I feel like it. No, because you're never going to nail it. You're never going to become the person you need to become. The energy, the vibe, the personality. It's going to take much, much longer if you just rely on willpower. Okay, off my soapbox. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. If the Truth About Alcohol philosophy jives with you and you want to become someone that doesn't drink alcohol, then there are several options available to you, okay? According to the research carried out by Janice and James Prochaska, there are 6 stages of change when it comes to defeating an addiction. And let me assure you, that is your problem. It is an addiction, right? Now, these 6 stages of change are as follows. 1, pre-contemplation. 2, contemplation. 3, preparation. 4, action. 5, maintenance. And 6, termination. And translated into Truth About Alcohol philosophy, these categories become this, right? 1, the death effect. 2, visualization. 3, incubation. 4, ready, steady, go. 5, transformation. And 6, service. And that just makes a nice little acronym, STRIVE. Ha! That's why I did that, right? So these 6 stages of the Truth About Alcohol are not fixed in stone, right? They're fluid and you'll move between these stages depending on a variety of different factors. But understanding where you are on this spectrum is really critical. Okay. Now, number one, the first category you're going to be in, which the Prochaska's called pre-contemplation, and I'm calling the death effect, that's when you really are struck by the zombification of societal condition. You have no idea that alcohol is a problem, that alcoholism exists. You just think that alcohol is fucking brilliant and that is the end of, right? And that will not be affecting you right now because you're here listening to this. But that is that first level, that first category, the death effect. At the second level, contemplation, as the Prochaska's call it, or for me, visualization, this is where you start to think and question the role that alcohol has in your life, right? And as you're thinking about this and you're pondering and you're kind of visualizing kind of like, you know, how alcohol is having a negative effect in your life and what it could possibly be like if it's not in your life anymore, you may have joined the Alcohol Addiction Podcast and listened to this. You may have headed over to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and joined our email list. You might be reading our blog post. You might have picked up a few books and started reading on those. At the third stage is called preparation, right? Or what we call incubation. And this is where you might go a little bit further. And you're now starting not only to kind of listen to podcasts and read some books, but you're actually preparing to change, right? The idea that you could potentially be someone that doesn't drink alcohol is starting to incubate. And you could, at this stage, have joined a community forum like Strive. Or you might have joined NIST Naked Minds forum or Hip Sobriety's Facebook group or something. But you're starting to prepare for change. The fourth category is action, or what we call ready, steady, go. And this is where you really are now starting to take some real solid action. And if you're ready to take action, then you should take the Truth About Alcohol Taster. The Truth About Alcohol Taster is a 27-day program. You can join the program whenever you like. You just go to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and you can find the links there to join up. Or you can email me at thetruthaboutalcohol@gmail.com and I'll sort you out. You join basically a group and you can just work on being someone who doesn't drink alcohol for 27 days to give it a little bit of a feel. We'll introduce you to the Truth About Alcohol philosophy, our three modules of truth, awareness, and freedom. We'll learn to help you see the truth about alcohol, why you drink, why it's so difficult to stop, raise awareness of that truth internally so you can start to change some of those neurological pathways, those thought process and belief systems around alcohol. And then freedom, how do you assert yourself back into a society of people that don't drink alcohol? You do the homework on Strive, you get an assignment every day from myself, and one of the Truth About Alcohol ambassadors will lead you along the way. So that's kind of the action stage. The fifth stage is called maintenance, or what we call transformation. This is where the work really takes off, right? Now, it's really important to understand that moving between the incubation phase and the ready, steady, go phase, you know, so whilst you're kind of like preparing to take action, that could take anywhere up to 6 months. And once you've started to take action, the actual maintenance phase, which is what we call transformation, the stage where you are really working on becoming someone that doesn't drink alcohol permanently, that phase can take up to 5 years, right? It can take that long. It certainly takes six months plus for you to really nail it or give yourself a good shot at this. And for that reason, we've created the intensive. The Truth About Alcohol Intensive, it's a year, an annual subscription where we get really deep into the truth about alcohol, raising awareness of that truth and working out how to be free of it. And we're up to like 70 plus coaching videos. You work with all the Truth About Alcohol ambassadors and myself. It's a great, great process, okay? One of the big mistakes people make is they'll take the taster, so they start to take action, and then once they finish the taster, they don't continue into the maintenance phase, and that can lead them fall back into some of those earlier categories. So it's really important to do the intensive and get through that transformation phase. And then finally, sixth, termination, as the Prochaska's call it, or I like to call it service. This is where it doesn't matter what happens now, you're never going to drink alcohol. It doesn't matter, you're never triggered, nothing ever happens, you're just fucking done with it, right? And that's where I am right now. And this is where we at the Truth About Alcohol can offer you some roles to, you know, give back to the community, give back to the world and help me create this movement of a million people that don't drink alcohol. And that is to extend yourself into the roles of either a Strive ambassador, where you lead in the Strive movement and really are a rock helping new people come to Strive. Or you can become a Truth About Alcohol ambassador, where we pay you to
take control of the taster groups and the intensive groups and really work with people who are ready to take the action phase. So if you are ready right now, okay, to start to think about moving up into the next stage, so, you know, you're in contemplation phase now and you're thinking about going to preparation, join Strive, right? It's £5 a month. It'll be the best £5 you've ever spent. If you're ready to take action, if you're ready to do something about this, then join the taster. Okay, that's £99, right? Join the taster. And then if you are just ready to just fucking be someone that doesn't drink alcohol and that is like something you want to do permanently, then join the intensive. That is £1,000. We've got payment plans available. Do not let money be the reason why you do not take this, because we can always sort something out or find you some help, all right? So head over to thetrooferalcohol.co.uk to join those experiences, or give me an email at trooferalcohol@gmail.com. Remember this, folks, okay? You drink alone, but you do not have to stop drinking alone. That's why we're here for you. So reach out and help. Take care of yourself.